Good afternoon. Today is June 7th, 2017. We're going to open up the Joint Committee on Ways and Means Subcommittee on General Government. Colleagues, today we are going to open up a work session on Senate Bill 5534, the Public Employee Retirement System. John, what do we need to know?
Mr. Co-Chair and members of the subcommittee, before you is the Public Employees Retirement System's primary budget measure. Out on OLIS are the work session materials. And LFO would note on the LFO recommendations attachment that has been replaced within the last hour or so. One page did not print correctly, and there was a on this specific LFO recommended recommendation on the third page. There are some red highlights noting just a clarification of the what the LFO recommendation is. So. Several minor changes. Did not affect the numbers at all, but that document is currently out there. This budget, Mr. Co-Chair and members of the subcommittee, is the subcommittee's largest budget. It is comprised of two pieces. There are other funds limited, which are under expenditure limitation by the legislature. And the second piece, the much larger piece, is the other funds non-limited. And as just a reminder, the non-limited expenditure authority is authorized in the primary budget measure, and it's for expenditures that are outside of the agency's control. The one control on non-limited expenditures is the amount of revenue available. And of course, for this agency, the non-limited expenditures are comprised of benefit payments to retirees. There are four budget notes which LFO will go over, and there are essentially three themes to this work session recommendations. The first is an agency reorganization that was discussed during phase two and that is being recommended by LFO. The second theme is information technology projects, and the third theme is the standard elimination of some long-term vacant positions. LFO would like to acknowledge the agency's budget officer, Linda Barnett, has done a great job, and it's good interfacing with her, a very consummate budget professional. And Mr. Co-Chair Bob Cummings is here on the for the information technology-related policy packages. He has worked closely with the agency and the Office of State CIO, as well as myself, on these recommendations, can answer some of the technical questions. And with that, Mr. Co-Chair, I would begin going through the work session papers.
Perfect. Senator Johnson?
I apologize. Running that gauntlet from the Senate side over here is not without its challenges. I know, and I'm speaking globally about ways and means right now, that we're kind of jammed up. But I'm wondering how much advance notice are agencies getting of their budgets. I know Representative Gomberg and my committee, we're struggling to be able to get adequate agency review and input. How much notice on a budget as important as this one did the agency get?
Mr. Co-Chair and Senator, the agency got 24 hours notice. However, in the intervening weeks, we've been working closely with the agency on various concepts like the reorganization plan, and they've been fielding numerous questions on information technology projects. So,
okay, and perhaps as we get into that, because I know that you've already teed it up as I was just going to let the professional staff read his note.
Pardon me.
I remain deeply concerned about the state CIO, and despite Representative Nierman's attempts to try to help me, I just want to let you know when we get into that portion of the conversation, I am very, very worried about the centralization of security. And the fact that while this conversation has been going on, DEQ gets hacked was not a confidence builder for me. And given the incredibly sensitive nature of the information possessed by PERS and some other agencies, I just hope that this lurch back towards centralization is something that we all want. And I wish I shared the confidence of others in this building that the centralization of security was a good idea. So I got to tell you, I'm going to be kind of squeamish about this because I didn't get a lot of warning to see the budget and am busy with some other things. I may end up being a courtesy yes today simply because I haven't had a chance to review an important budget like this in the depth of detail that I wish I did. So I want to express my respect to the two chairs. I swing a gavel in another room. But I just want to at least get that on the record.
Thank you, and fully understand your comments. Okay, thank you. Should we proceed forward?
Yes. Mr. Co-Chair and members of the subcommittee, behind the LFO memorandum is the ORBITS, the Oregon Budget Information Tracking System work session papers from which I'll work through the various packages. On page one, it's just an overview of the entire agency budget. It's $11.1 billion, 372 positions, 371.37 FTE is the recommendation. Again, of that total, $11 billion is the non-limited funds for benefit payments, and roughly $101 million is the other funds limited. That's the operating part of the agency's budget, and which is under expenditure limitation and the bulk of our discussion. The following pages, I'll go through them pretty quickly and be glad to answer any questions, but the first few pages are related to the non-limited authority. On page two is the Tier 1 and Tier 2 pension programs. Again, this is just the budget authority. There are no other concepts in here. These are projected amounts that the agency prepared as the budget was developed on what they thought these benefit programs were under current law. For Tier 1 and Tier...
Really quick, can you share with me which page are you on?
I'm on page 2, Mr. Co-Chair.
Thank you. Sorry to interrupt you.
For Tier 1 and Tier 2 pension programs, the budget is $9.1 billion other funds, non-limited. On page 3, for the retirement health insurance program, the budget is $815,271,000, non-limited. On page 4 for the Oregon Public Service Retirement Pension Program, the budget is $39 million non-limited. And for the individual account program on page 5, the budget is for $1.1 billion non-limited. There are a few pages which are blank, page 6 and 7, as well as page 8, the next page that we have data on is the debt service page beginning on page 9. And what's of note here is that there is no debt service for the 2017-19 biennium or beyond at this point. The agency's debt service was related to the construction of their headquarters building in Tigard, Oregon, and that has been fully paid off at the conclusion of this biennium. On page 10, we get into the central...
Mr. Borden, or Mr. Chair?
Yeah.
Was that on an anticipated schedule? So was the performance of dealing with the capital construction debt on that building discharged as expected?
Mr. Co-Chair and Senator, yes, on schedule.
Thank you.
You got some good news there.
Yeah.
Very good news. On page 10 is the central administration program. We now begin the limited portion of the budget, that which is under expenditure limitation of the legislature. It's for $3.7 million, 14 positions, and 14 FTE. This is essentially the support for the board and high-level administration of the agency. There is a policy package beginning here on page 11, which is package 802, this is peppered throughout the agency. This is the reorganization package that the agency undertook at the conclusion of last session. There's a detailed description of the package, and we'll go through it programmatically as this package moves through the agency's budget. For this central administration, it moves out four positions for $324,526. Overall, LFO is recommending approval of this reorganization, but there are two issues of note. One is that the deputy director position of the agency has remained vacant for well over 22 months, and this is of concern to LFO and will be part of our specific recommendation. Also, there's a lack of a chief financial officer for the agency, a certified public accountant type, and so that is of concern as well. But the LFO recommendation here for package 802 for this central administration program is to recommend the PERS reorganization to proceed, with the exception of the elimination of the deputy director position, which PERS is directed to competitively recruit for and hire.
So let me ask you really quick. Why has it taken so long to fill that position? I would think that would be a position that would be sought after.
Mr. Co-Chair, may I defer to the agency?
Yeah.
Is that?
Come on up. Whew.
Mr. Co-Chair, for the record, Steve Rodman with PERS. The deputy director position, well, as staff notes, has been vacant. We've had someone in that hasn't worked out of class for the last at least 12 months. And the reason it was left vacant is the struggles we've been having in trying to get the reorganization executed and the classification review done to allow me to go forward and recruit and fill that position.
I'm not being obstinate here. I don't understand what one has to do with the other.
So
you're putting together a reorganization. How does that affect not being able to hire someone?
Because I couldn't say what the deputy director's job was. As we are currently constituted under the reorganization, the deputy director's duties are within the realm of the chief operations officer. So my chief operations officer has been in that deputy director position in a work out of class.
That's logical. Thank you. Yeah. Sorry to interrupt. Might as well just stay there. We may have some more questions here.
Okay.
So Mr. Co-Chair, LFO recommends approval of package 802 for the central administration program. Next, we move to page 12, which is the benefit payments division. In this reorganization, the agency is, and the recommendation is to eliminate this division and combine it with the customer service division. So this package 802 moves $15.1 million other funds limited into a new program, which we'll discuss here shortly. It also moves 79 positions, 79.21 FTE, and LFO recommends approval of that package. Prior to that package being moved, however, though, on page 14 is the elimination of a long-term vacancy. This is a public service representative 3 that's been vacant for 18 months. Results in a savings of $102,134, one position, and 0.79 FTE, and LFO recommends approval of that. On page 15 is the Financial Administration and Services Division. The total recommended budget is for $23.4 million other funds limited for 61 positions, 61.58 FTE. On page 6.
My bad that I had to take a call, but I've got another question. And, Mr. Chair, this speaks directly to an issue that we've had in this committee before, and that's the recruitment of the chief financial officer that requires a CPA. And we heard the lamentations from Department of Revenue about why they couldn't find a CPA. And I'm just trying to figure out, is there something wrong with our pay structure? Do CPAs don't exist that don't have jobs? Do people not want to work in state government as opposed to the private sector when they have a CPA credential? I'm trying to figure out why we're having such a hard time in two very significant agencies recruiting CPA-level financial officers. And I don't know if Mr. Rodman has a comment, but it strikes me as more than coincidental that both Department of Revenue and you guys can't recruit a CPA.
Mr. Co-Chair, Senator Johnson, we've been through some changes in this division, one of which was a retirement of a longtime financial reporting section manager who was a CPA. And we have brought on other staff and do have staff that are CPAs. We have not designated one of them or a chief financial officer. Instead, that financial reporting section has its responsibilities to produce the financial reports that we do. We just haven't applied that title to somebody.
Okay, so yours is a titular issue. And yet the professional staff call out the fact that a lack of a chief financial officer is problematic. And when I see that in the context of Department of Revenue lacking bench strength in their financial administration or financial services, it begins to cause me some alarm. And I just, maybe you can provide me some comfort that this is only titular, the work's being done, and that the position has remained vacant for valid reasons.
Mr. Co-Chair, Senator Johnson, the work is getting done. We will produce a CAFR as we do every year. We have kept up with our financial reporting responsibilities, and we'll continue to do so. The lack of a CFO is not something that has been put on my radar. If LFO staff has brought that to my attention previously, I apologize for not addressing it. But this is something that I'm happy to work with LFO staff to address.
Okay.
Thank you. Any thoughts you want to add to that, John?
No, Mr. Co-Chair.
Whoops.
Thank you.
Mr. Chair.
Oh, Senator.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I may be confused here, but I see in POP 802 that perhaps it says to eliminate the deputy director position, and then I see LFO recommending to keep the dep. Is there a difference in opinion here?
No, Co-Chair Smith, Senator DePore, John has made it clear that we should pursue putting that deputy director position together. I was waiting for this process to approve the reorganization so I knew what that position was going to do. Now that, if this is approved, allows me to move forward. I got a little thing called a hiring freeze that's in place right now that may make this somewhat problematic. I don't know what will happen within that context. But as I say, I have an individual working as deputy director in a workout of class in my agency, and her scope of responsibilities is well clear and understood within the agency.
Okay, just to follow up, I think you're doing a good job, and I appreciate how PERS is functioning, and I certainly support the director's decision to manage as you see fit and to see savings where you can. So, I mean, you're the one in charge of running the organization, and you're getting the work done, so I support your efforts.
Thank you.
Any other questions or comments? All right, let's proceed.
Mr. Co-Chair, members of the subcommittee, we're on page 16. This is a package 801. It's an LFO technical adjustment requested by the agency that simply reduces state government service charges by $17,732. Other funds limited for a technical issue the agency requested to be resolved. On page 17 is a minor adjustment in this division, the Financial Administration Services Division, related to the reorg, which reduces $5,654, other funds limited. And of course, LFO recommends approval. In this same division, on page 18 is a package 812, which eliminates an administrative specialist 2 position that has been vacant for 22 months, saving $78,524, one position, 0.42 FTE. Next, we slip into the Information Services Division on page 19. The total budget for this division is $27.6 million, other funds limited, 71 positions, 69.54 FTE. The first package on page 20 is package 101 related to cybersecurity. It's arisen out of some concerns from about a year ago in 2016 of an independent assessment of the agency's cybersecurity position. This package is being fully recommended with one modification, and that is that per the Senate Bill 90 and the governor's executive order related to unifying cybersecurity, the 3 positions being requested in this package are being approved as part of the Department of Administrative Services Chief Information Officer's budget. So they are not showing up here.
And Senator, this is please. The one, Mr. Chair, that I have a lot of trouble with. And I know that when we're at this point in a budget, it's been released by the coach. It's been through the LFO scrutiny. It's been worked by the 2 co-chairs. It's been released for a work session to this committee. And yet I think this is problematic. We bounced this chief information officer position around. It's gone from DAS. Now they want to create a separate agency. Mr. Pettit has testified in here repeatedly and frequently, not to my satisfaction, on questions, and this worries me a great deal.
Let's continue.
Mr. Co-Chair, there's a budget note related to this package, which we'll discuss as part of the work session papers. But again, LFO is recommending approval of $1.6 million other funds expenditure limitation for package 101 cybersecurity.
So really quick before we move off this, Senator Johnson, I want you to know I hear you loud and clear on this. LFO's had some conversations with the two co-chairs on this issue, and I think this conversation is going to continue.
Good. And Mr. Chair, if I could follow up, I hope as the conversation continues that it is everybody's perspective, the audit as well as the CIO. I know that on the cusp of forming his own agency, that I can only imagine that the CIO lusts over this consolidation of power under his regime. I just want to make sure that it is in the best interest of the state of Oregon. And so far, this is a construct that has not proven efficacious. It hadn't even been approved by the legislature yet. And already we're sucking agencies in, agencies with significant personal information. And I go back to DEQ. Thank God it was DEQ and it was not PERS, where we had somebody romping through there checking out personal information. And if, as a result of some kind of breach, PERS is unable to service their members, then a pox on all of us. So I just want to make sure that it isn't the CIO's opinion of how this ought to work that is given the most weight in the conversation with LFO and the co-chairs.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Yep. Let's continue.
Mr. Co-Chair, returning to page 21. On page 21 is package 102. This is fully integrating the individual account program administration into the PERS Orion system. This package is, again, what this is represents is the final phase of funding for bringing that program in-house. It's currently being administered by a third party. And so the agency has been working through the DAS stage gate process and is since the 2013 biennium. However, recently, the most recent independent quality assurance report has flagged the project as red for, I believe, a single issue, and that is that the primary vendor doing the work is will likely not continue into next biennium. So that is of concern to LFO. LFO also notes that there are potential legislative reforms that could occur that could impact this IT project during this session, and that the Oregon Investment Council is also moving to change the portfolio configuration of the individual account program. So there could be some scope changes. So what LFO is recommending for this package is that it be approved as modified as a one-time adjustment to the agency's budget. And LFO is saying, given the issues with the project, to have a conservative approach to approve expenditure limitation and position authority. So LFO is recommending that one half of the limitation be approved and one half of the full-time equivalents be approved. That would be an increase of other funds limitation of $1.4 million and three positions and 1.5 FTE. The agency would have the opportunity, the next opportunity would be for them to just come back in February of 18 to request the balance of the funds, and that would be a good opportunity to check in and see how the status of the project is going, Mr. Kutcher.
Senator
Dunn. Mr. Chair, I'm sorry to be a pain.
No,
I don't recall, because the distance from the presentation to today is so far apart, but with your permission, could the director tell us why this vendor isn't coming back? Is it performance issues and you're canning them, or do they hate you, or why aren't they coming back?
Co-Chair Smith, Senator Johnson, the contract was originally created as a support contract where we bring in developers and other IT professionals more or less on a work order basis. And about a year ago, concerns about that manner of procurement were raised by the state's procurement office and by the CIO. So we've been directed to go to a different procurement model. This contract was already slated to expire in November of this next year, or this year, I'm sorry, November of this year. So we just recently issued a request for proposal for a new structure for the support services, and we hope we get a successful vendor through that process, which will allow us to continue on the project. The need to change vendors was driven by the procurement concerns that were raised to us, and therefore we had to change to a different procurement model. It's not at all related to the performance of this vendor, but also, like I say, they were going to run out of contract bandwidth anyway in the next several months. So we had to do something different anyway.
Okay. All right, let's continue.
Mr. Co-Chair, on page 23 is package 103. This package does not recommend any expenditure limitation, but it's just put on note. The LFO recommendation for this particular package, which is business modernization, the agency originally requested $6.4 million of other funds limitation and three limited duration positions. LFO just wanted to get on the record to defer this request, hopefully to the session in 18. But the urgency of making sure that the agency's information security, business continuity, and disaster recovery vulnerabilities are addressed between now and then, before any additional IT actions are undertaken, is what LFO considers the priority. So again, package 103 is to defer.
One more question, Mr. Chair. As I recall, and again, this construct is so weird that it seems like years ago that we had this conversation. Tell us, if you would, Mr. Rodman, about what your backup procedures are and where you store your backup. I just don't remember.
Co-Chair Smith, Senator Johnson, historically we have done what's called a tape backup. So we back up our systems to a physical tape that is stored off-site. At LFO's direction and during the course of the last biennium, we've tried to modernize that and procure the services of the state data center in providing those backup services. So far, that has not been completely successful. They've not been able to support all of our needs in that respect. So we're still in the process of trying to develop that backup capability on a different construct than the tape backup.
So
go ahead, Sandra.
The follow-up question from that is, through a fault of the state data center and their inability to perform what you need, you now are still looking for another way to modernize your backup, and yet it seems that the three positions that you need to do that are not being allowed under this budget request. So maybe I'm missing something. The data center, my old favorite, can't get you there due to its manifold deficiencies, and now you don't have the horsepower to explore other options, or am I missing something?
So, if I may, Co-Chair Smith, Senator Johnson, first off, there's a fundamental distinction between backup and disaster recovery. Backup is just where do we store our data? Disaster recovery is how are we going to do business? So, as you know, as explored, we've had minimal amount of time to consume these recommendations. This is one in particular I find troubling in this respect. We absolutely recognize the need to improve our disaster recovery and business continuity capabilities. Part and parcel of that is modernization of our systems. As you've heard before, our relatively new computer system sits in a customized box and a customized stack of hardware and software configuration. That is very hard to replicate in another site because you basically have to build everything all over again somewhere else, so you have a completely redundant system. Our modernization efforts were to build a more modern stack that can live under any sort of different configurations, including a shared service model such as the state data center now has. So by not allowing us to proceed on the modernization piece, and directing us to work on the disaster recovery piece first, we're going to go through kind of a two-step process instead of a coordinated process. We understand absolutely the need to improve our disaster recovery and to create a place where we could continue to do business if our Tigard location was wiped out for whatever reason. Modernization was going to make that a next generation exercise instead of a current generation exercise.
Let me ask you this. Have you discussed with LFO what your schedule is to make these improvements, these changes?
That Co-Chair Smith, that information has been provided. Those timelines have been provided.
I would share with you, Senator Johnson, it'd be worthwhile for you to take a few minutes and visit with John offline on this issue.
Sure.
I would share with you, Mr. Director, without going into too much detail, this is pretty important to get completed. And you need to be communicating with us on a regular basis on what steps are being taken to complete this. And let us make sure that we're doing all we can to support you in that effort. Pretty important stuff.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. Let's continue.
Mr. Co-Chair, continuing on page 24 is package 200. This was a package added by the governor during the governor's budget process. There's no expenditure limitation that LFO is recommending with this package. However, in 2016, PERS was directed with the Department of Administrative Services Chief Financial Office to develop just a feasibility study about their movement to the state data center. And that assessment is yet to be completed. So the recommendation here, which will be a budget note you'll hear shortly, is just to have that feasibility study looked at, completed, and submitted. And the reason why is that data centers are able to, and Bob can speak far more articulately than I can, but data centers are able to provide many benefits, which resolve some of the security concerns, disaster recovery, and business continuity concerns that exist. But again, this package right here is just getting on the record to have the feasibility study completed and see if there is any merit to have this move to the state data center.
Yeah, Representative.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. So, Mr. Rodman, does that assessment, I assume you're partway through that assessment there, does that assessment include consideration of using cloud services for data storage?
Co-Chair Smith, Representative Nierman, it is almost completed. As LFO alluded to, in April of 2016, we were given a list of tasks related to technology and information security from LFO and CIO. This was one of those tasks. This is one of the items that we will deliver either this week or next to complete that element of this reporting. To answer your question directly, no, it does not, because it doesn't consider the cloud, because it's not a service currently available. So what we're looking at is when and how could we move services into the state data center, and what would the predicates for that move be?
Can I follow?
Please.
Why isn't that service available? I mean, it is available. It exists.
Co-Chair Smith, Representative Newman, that's way outside of my purview. I don't know why state data
center doesn't. I apologize for the question.
Mr. Co-Chair, on page 25 is package 804. And members of the subcommittee, when you see 800 series policy packages, those are done through the legislative process. So this was added by LFO, and basically this package is entitled Disaster Recovery Program. PERS lacks an industry standard disaster recovery program to protect critical business functions in the event of a major failure or disaster. This package provides $500,000 other funds expenditure limitation, and LFO is recommending approval of it with the understanding that PERS may request additional resources based upon the progress of developing its disaster recovery program. There's an associated budget note that LFO will review here in a few minutes. So,
Senator Johnson.
Is the money enough, or do they need bodies to help do this as well?
Pardon me. Who wants to take this?
Co-Chair Smith, Senator Johnson, the money is what we need to start, and the money will buy contractors who will help us with not only the configuration of what we need, but also the evaluation of where that ought to live. So we do have dedicated staff who work on business continuity and disaster recovery. We just need supplemental help in trying to design and implement where those new systems might live, in looking at things like a proof of concept and where that might reside.
Thank you. Without going into much detail, have you thought about what your plan would be if a situation occurred tomorrow?
Co-Chair Smith, almost every day. Absolutely, we do. It is not correct to say we don't have a disaster recovery plan. It is very correct to say it needs rigor and it needs updating and it needs constant refreshing. So we need to improve our efforts in that area. Absolutely. We came to you though in 15-17 with a policy option package to improve our capabilities in that area. The monies for that were predicated on approval from LFO, CFO, and OSCIO, which we were not able to get all three of them to agree on what to move forward on and when and where. So we continue to be frustrated with the efforts of trying to get direction and consistency from all of those people in the same direction and struggle with the communication of trying to get all three of those entities to be on the same page.
Mr. Co-Chair, in an effort to resolve.
So we got a question here.
Actually, you may be answering it, if you would go ahead.
Okay, we'll continue forward.
Mr. Co-Chair, in an effort to resolve what the agency just mentioned as an issue, the packages that LFO were recommending are very tailored and very specific to unique aspects of both disaster recovery, business continuity, cybersecurity, and a warm site, which we'll discuss here shortly. So they are very siloed approaches that should be crystal clear to all the players Mr. Director Roderman mentioned.
Thank you. I'll go ahead with my question, although that was helpful. What is an agency director to do in a situation like this where you're getting conflicting or certainly non-intersecting information, mm-hmm. direction from a variety of sources?
Please.
Mr. Co-Chair and Representative, the agency can try to get clarification from either the emergency board or the legislature. So that would be one avenue. So I think there are this particular instance, LFO felt that in evaluating the criteria by which the legislature set for the scheduling of funds, that criteria simply had not been met. So some funds were scheduled, in fact, this last spring, and we learned just the other day that the majority of those funds, will not be able to be expended in a timely manner, so that limitation will expire. So I'm not sure if that's helpful or not. But.
Follow up?
No.
Let's continue.
Mr. Co-Chair, on page 26 is package 805, Disaster Recovery Warm Site. This package is for $1,147,634. This is a package that was in the governor's budget. We kind of moved it from package 200 into this. It's directing PERS to develop a warm site somewhere outside the state of Oregon geographic area. It's given the discussion, it's absolutely critical that this occur, because right now the only backup they have of their data is, as the director mentioned, is a tape backup. And so they are the agency is vulnerable. LFO will again discuss some budget notes here in a minute to deal with this particular issue. So LFO is recommending approval of package 805 for the $1.2 million other funds. On page 27, there are two vacant positions, long-term vacant positions in the Information Services Division. LFO is recommending that they be eliminated for a savings of $381,097. Two positions, 1.96 FTE. On page 28 is package 814. This is a standard package across some of the larger agencies, which consolidates the information technology security positions. by removing them from agencies and putting them in the Department of Administrative Services Chief Financial Office. So this package is a reduction of $496,921, two positions, two FTE. Again, they'll be moved to the administrative control of the Chief Information Officer. This is part of Senate Bill 90. The Chief Information, the DAS Chief Office of State CEO, Chief Information Officer, has told us that they'll work closely with the department on these particular positions because the agency is concerned about the movement of these positions.
Yeah. Mr. Co-Chair.
Thank you, Mr. Co-Chair. Just to kind of follow up, so the positions are moving. The funding will go along with the positions so that they don't come back and say, we need funding for these positions. We want to make sure that that's clear to them.
Yes, right. Yes, okay. Mr. Co-Chair.
Continue.
On page 29 is the customer service division, the former customer service division. This budget is going to zero as the customer service and the benefits division are being combined, and we'll have more discussion about that here under on page 30, which is package 802, the reorganization. It moves $23.3 million other funds, 126 positions, 126 FTE into a new combined program. LFO is, of course, recommending approval of that package. On page 31, there is package 812, which is elimination of one long-term vacant position for a savings of $118,610. LFO is recommending approval of that package.
That was which one? 812?
Page 31, Mr. Co-Chair, package 812.
Okay. I'm looking up here. It says package 812 vacant. Vacant position eliminated, but it has six positions. Is that different?
I'm sorry, Mr.
6 months.
Mr. Co-Chair.
Okay.
That's actually the summary of all of the positions across divisions. So this is just one of a piece of the equation.
I thought it was 6 months that you were looking at. That's right there.
Mr. Co-Chair, on page 33 is the Policy Planning and Communications Division. This division is being combined with the transfer of the funding in this position to other divisions. So on page 34 is the reorganization package. It removes $7.4 million other funds limitation, 25 positions, 25.04 FTE.
Mr. Chair.
Please.
Mr. Rodman, are all of these recommendations commensurate with the work that the agency has done on reorg? So this is the implementation of your reorg.
Co-Chair Smith, Senator Johnson, yes, and we appreciate all the diligence that LFO and CFO have given in tracking these and actually bringing this to fruition.
Cool.
Mr. Co-Chair, on page 35 is package 112, elimination of another long-term vacant position for a savings of $146,659, one position, 0.96 FTE. Mr. Co-Chair, on page 36 is the result of the one of the results of the reorganization. It's an operations division, which is essentially the combination of the benefit payments and customer service divisions into a single consolidated division. On page 37 is the package 802, the reorganization. This division would have a budget of $39.4 million other funds, 209 positions, 209.21 FTE. Now, I was recommending that. On page 38 is another new division, Compliance, Audit, and Risk Division. On page 39 is package 802, the reorganization, which places $6.7 million other funds expenditure limitations, 17 positions, and 17.04 FTE into this new division. Under this new division, on page 40 is package 803. This is another information technology related package related to business continuity. It's asking the agency to develop a business continuity program, and there's a recommendation for $250,000 other funds expenditure limitation associated with this package that LFO is recommending approval on. LFO is also noting that if the agency needs additional limitation beyond this $250,000, that they should return to the legislature or the emergency board. And with that, Mr. Co-Chair, those are the work session papers, the detailed work session papers for the agencies, the LFO recommended budget for the agency.
Okay, so how do you want to continue forward? Do you want us to move those recommendations now? How do you want to do this, John?
Mr. Co-Chair, if I, my recommendation is to move these recommendations now. We'll go to performance measures and then budget notes and work through this sequentially. So,
if it's all right, I'm going to borrow this from you as we work here because my computer has died. I'm trying to do it off my phone. And
okay, let me catch up with you. Almost there. Almost there. Okay. Okay. Yes. Okay. So, I heard you had mentioned something about modifications, so that's not going to apply to this portion here.
No, sir.
Okay. What? Tell me what you mean.
So LFO was just recommending the approval of the work session presentation report, and we would just note that there are other adjustments coming in, the omnibus and other bills for the agency standard adjustments. So,
Mr. Co-Chair, I move the LFO recommendation to Senate Bill 5534.
All right. Thank you. Mr. Co-Chair moves the LFO recommendation to Senate Bill 5534 with the modifications. Any conversation on this? Senator Johnson.
Mr. Chair, given my concerns about this and the fact that I may end up being a courtesy no here until I have a chance to talk to Mr. Borden, if you would indulge me, would it be possible for the director to comment on some of my CIO concerns? I don't know whether I'm just making this up out of whole cloth. We've heard the LFO recommendation, and I would just be curious, the guy that we entrust with doing this, and I'm going to say this when we get into performance measures too, I don't think the committee should for 1 second lose track of what we have done, we the legislature, to this agency by virtue of the conversation about adjustments to PERS benefits. I think we have frightened a lot of public employees, and I am assuming, I don't know, but I'm assuming that your workload has gone like that. But I would just like on the record to have a chance to have the director respond to the budget, if you will indulge me.
Most definitely.
Co-Chair Smith and members of the committee, Senator Johnson, to your point. As was expressed, this is a recommendation that we've only recently had a chance to start digesting. I am very clear. You all have been very clear, and it has always been a key core operating principle of our agency to support information security. I understand the movements to centralize that at the state level and the CIO's and the governor's dedication to that accountability, and we support that fully. The challenge that I have is getting direction back from that memo I mentioned in April of 16 to, among other things, stand up an information security program. We put in a policy package that would allow us to do that. In the consideration of that package comes the CIO with their centralized model, and I continue to struggle over how those will integrate, but they must, because that is a function that must be supported within the agency. I will say that my fear is a fear of the unknown. It's not a fear of execution. It's a fear of not knowing what's on the other side of this divide. I will also commend Dr. Pettit in that when these recommendations came out and I reached out to him yesterday, I got on his calendar for Friday afternoon, in which I'm hopeful we'll have a constructive conversation over where these positions are going to go and how they will continue to support our information security operations. In the interim conversations I've had with Dr. Pettit and with members of his staff, my understanding had been that we, as our agency, were well in advance of the information security efforts that they are trying to institute through other agencies, and they were supportive of our ask for the resources that we needed in this subcommittee to move forward with our information security program. It is the position allocation piece of this that came as a surprise to me. So that's the piece I need to resolve with Dr. Pettit if these recommendations are adopted. If adopted, I'm demanded to stand up a program, and I have no positions in which to do that. I have assurances from LFO staff and from Dr. Pettit through LFO staff that those positions will be accorded us, but again, it's a fear of the unknown. Regardless of that, please understand that if this budget is adopted and if the centralized model is put in place, we will continue to be vigilant in our protection of members' information security. It is core to what we do. So we are always trying to operate within that environment. We are, to some degree, if I may, sort of a sleepy little agency up in Tigard. I'm not in a position on the executive leadership team at the state level. I'm not brought into the mix on these conversations of enterprise level initiatives. So I may be out of the loop on what those directions might be, and I will own that is a failure on my part in coming into that fray. But that is my chief concern. What resources will I have to get this done? Be assured, whatever resources I have, we will get it done.
Follow up.
Thank you for your patience, Mr. Co-Chair. The only comment I guess I would make back is that the sleepy little agency up in Tigard is handling the employment benefits of a lot of
hundreds of thousands of public employees.
Hardworking Oregonians. And given the fact that your sleepy little agency has been the focus of so much public policy discussion, I think it is essential that the legislature do something to suggest that you be more thoroughly engaged in these enterprise-level conversations. You guys dropped the ball, and we've got hundreds of thousands of disadvantaged folks with a belief and an almost existential reliance that a retirement they anticipated will be there. And I think it is incumbent on government writ large to make you a full partner in managing that expectation of all of these hardworking Oregonians.
Thank you.
So we have a motion before us to accept LFO's recommendations on Senate Bill 5534. Is there any additional comments?
Okay.
Is there any objection?
I am going to object until I have the opportunity to take the chair up on his invitation to visit with Mr. Borden, which I intend to make an appointment forthwith.
And then I don't think you're position's going to change.
Okay. So, well, that'll be a valuable investment of my time.
All right.
Okay, thank you.
Any other objections? Let it be noted, Senator Johnson is a no vote, and we'll approve that. John, let's move forward with performance measures.
Mr. Co-Chair, LFO is recommending approval of the key performance measures and updated targets, and LFO just noted a typo on performance measure number 3. It should be the targets for 18 and 2018 and 2019 should remain at 977. So LFO would recommend that change at the table. But again, approval of the existing key performance measures and updated targets.
Okay. So are we talking about with modification?
I think just move the LFO recommendation,
okay.
Mr. Co-Chair.
Mr. Co-Chair, I move the LFO recommendation on key performance measures.
All right, thank you. Mr. Co-Chair moves the LFO recommendation on key performance measures with the modifications as presented to us. Any conversation? Yeah, Representative.
Thank you, Mr. Co-Chair. Just one clarification, then one question. On the key performance metric number 3, mm-hmm. You said it should remain at 977, but that's the last actual result. It's my understanding that the current target is 995.
Help us with that.
Or the current biennium.
Yes, that's true.
Please.
Just want to make sure I have the right numbers.
Mr. Co-Chair and Representative, yes. LFO is kind of hedging our bet here a little bit, thinking that there will be further action in the 18th session, and so that's where the 977 number is coming from, Mr. Co-Chair.
Okay. Follow-up question. So I did have a question about number 7, the timely benefits estimates. So it looks like, you know, the current performance is that PERS provides member benefit estimates within 30 days 56% of the time, and in the previous presentation it said that that was down from 94% of the time in the previous year due to staffing constraints as compared to the prior year. So if we're reducing staffing and there's going to be additional staffing constraints, that what is the plan to get from 56 up to 95%, which is the current target?
Chair, if I may defer to the agency to, since they're here.
Sure. Co-Chair Smith, Representative Fahey. Much of this dip in performance is related to a couple of factors, one of which is the Supreme Court's decision, which pulled some of our resources over to resolving those calculations, so we weren't able to be as fully staffed in this estimates area as we would have liked to be. The other goes back to Senator Johnson's point about the drive up in our demand. As more people contemplate a retirement, we got a lot more estimate requests than we normally do. So I expect this will climb back more to the normal range. I don't have a concern with the key performance measure. I think it's where we should be and where we want to be.
Okay. So more due to external factors than necessarily staffing factors within the agency.
Correct.
So let me ask a few questions, and I apologize, I'm having to work off my phone here. On your initial KPM number one, timely retirement payments, percent of initial service retirement payments paid within 45 days from retirement date, why is the goal only 80%? Why wouldn't we strive for 100%?
Co-Chair Smith, 100% would be very admirable but impossible in this respect. Understand that the process that we go through when a member expresses their intention to retire, let's say they picked today, they came in and said, we're going to go out July 1. The employer needs to terminate them and report that termination to us. Then we need to contact all of their employers over their history to make sure that the information that has been provided is accurate to move forward. And then we do the calculation, and don't forget, we calculate your benefit three ways under 13 options. So the staggering of that leads to this 45-day KPM. 80% is where we normally are. I know the last reported result was under performance again. Some of those circumstances I talked about, Representative Fahey, were contributive to that. We are back to where we hit this 80% mark very consistently.
Okay.
So the ones that don't get that 100% are the ones where we have disputes or concerns with employers that need to be resolved before we can move forward with calculation.
Let me move to performance measure number five, level of participation, percent of state employees participating in the deferred compensation program. Admirable goal. Tell me, what work do you do to, not personally, your agency, to get folks to participate in this? Is there a marketing effort?
Co-Chair Smith, it absolutely is, and it's a particular point of emphasis for us that we've started engaging and will continue to engage in. So the reference here is to what's called the Oregon Savings Growth Plan, or OSGP. And particularly given the benefit changes in PERS dating from 2003, a consistent point of emphasis in our strategic plan has been that we need to engage younger employees in retirement planning sooner and talk about what we've denominated as the three-legged stool. Your retirement, if it's successful, will have PERS, will have Social Security, and will have private savings. And you need to have private savings to have a successful retirement. You need to start that soon rather than later. So pardon me if I get a little wound up about it, but let me just say, last October, you talk about marketing, we held a retirement fair at the Salem Convention Center that was sponsored by OSGP, but also brought in our PERS representatives. We overwhelmed the convention center. Awesome. We had rooms that were crammed beyond the gills. So much so that next year, or this year when we have the second one, we've taken both floors of the convention center, as well as take it on the road to your district, for example, Representative Smith, so we make sure we cover all around the state as we represent folks. So the point is, again, I'm sorry, it's a particular point of pride. We really want to drive OSGP as, first for state employees, a savings vehicle that they recognize the value of and engage in sooner and more consistently
careers. And that's awesome. Let me just ask one question on that, though. Why 45%? How'd you pick that number as a goal?
Oh, Coach R. Smith, we didn't.
We picked it. How did we pick that number?
Mr. Co-Chair, basically following the theme that the director has outlined, that with the growing importance of this program, LFO has gradually been increasing the target and will continue to do so given its importance to especially Oregon Public Service employee retirement system employees, the younger employees, the non-tier one, tier two employees. This is going to have to make up a key aspect of their retirement.
Thank you.
So,
okay. And then the last comment on this, I want to compliment you folks on your customer service results. You're in the 90s, which is excellent. And I want to point out that several times I've actually contacted PERS without identifying who I am or what role I play, and the service has always been excellent. And so that's
glad
recommended. Yeah. Okay, so let's keep moving here so we can get everyone on with their day. So we have a motion on the floor to approve LFO's recommendations on key performance measures with the modifications. Any additional comments? Is there any objection to these performance measures?
Any interest of consistency.
Okay, let it be noted, Senator Johnson is a no. Any others?
Gomberg's a yes.
Yep, Gomberg got you on record. Okay, so those are approved.
Mr. Co-Chair, if I may, I will go over the budget notes. There are four of them. I'll read them into the record. The first budget note relates to the cybersecurity program.
We'll grab you.
The public employees retirement system under the direction of the Department of Administrative Services off the State Office of the State Chief Information Officer is directed to develop and implement an industry standard cybersecurity program, including defining the long-term maintenance, operation, and funding plans for the program. The agencies are to jointly report to the Interim Joint Committee on Ways and Means on our Interim Joint Legislative Committee on Information Management Technology during legislative days in September and November, and to the legislature in 2018. The cybersecurity program, once completed, is to be independently assessed by a third-party vendor with the findings of that assessment reported to the legislature. Budget note number two is the individual account program. The public employees retirement system under the direction of the Department of Administrative Services, Office of the State Chief Information Officer, is directed to jointly report the status of the individual account program to the Interim Joint Legislative Committee on Information Management and Technology during legislative days in September and November, and to the legislature in 2018. Budget note number three is the State Data Center. The Public Employees Retirement System and the Department of Administrative Services Office of the State Chief Information Officer are directed to complete a comprehensive state data center usage analysis as requested in April of 2016. The agencies are to jointly report the feasibility study findings to the Interim Joint Legislative Committee on Information Management and Technology during legislative days in September of 2017. If found to be feasible, the agencies are to develop a formal migration plan, schedule, and budget for the 2017-19 biennium, and then are to report to the Joint Committee on Ways and Means during the legislative session in 2018. The final budget note number four, is disaster recovery, business continuity, and warm site. The Public Employees Retirement System, under the direction of the Department of Administrative Services, Office of the State Chief Information Officer, is directed to develop and implement industry standard disaster recovery program, business continuity program, and disaster recovery warm site. The agencies are to jointly report to the Interim Joint Legislative Committee on Information Management and Technology during legislative days in September, November, and to the legislature in 2018. Mr. Co-Chair, those are the four recommended budget notes.
Thank you. Mr. Co-Chair.
Mr. Co-Chair, I move the LFO recommendations on the budget notes.
All right, Mr. Co-Chair moves the LFO recommendations on the budget notes. Is there any additional discussion? Yeah, Representative Marsh, please.
Yeah, thank you, Co-Chair. So I just want to reflect for one more minute on your staffing and its adequacy for what could be significant PERS changes depending on where this legislature goes. We are talking about, or at least on the table, are some significant changes to IAP, which is not only clearly going to be considered a takeaway from some members. It's also very complex because it's dependent on a formulary. Are you staffed at this point to be able to answer what I think could be a deluge of questions should that go forward?
Co-Chair Smith, Representative Marsh, the direct answer is not as much as we would like to be, because we have been experiencing, as Senator Johnson alluded to, a high demand, and our call response times have not been as quick as we would like. Also, though, the changes contemplated in 1068 are at this point just introduced. They haven't been executed. If they are executed, we will, I'm sure, be accorded the opportunity to come in with a fiscal impact statement or to come in later with an implementation plan to be able to address those resource shortages. I will at least allow at the first point, that is an element of uncertainty well noted by LFO staff in their budget notes and in their recommendation as far as the future of that program. And I can completely understand why they've assessed or approved or recommended approving kind of incremental funding. So we do have a window to come back in 2018 and say, here's all the stuff that happened and here's all the things that now we need to consider with this program and a revision of that going forward. So I don't want to get ahead of the curve in trying to get ready for something that's just been introduced. Mm-hmm. But on the other hand, we are always contemplative of what those changes might require and how we can best be responsive.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Co-Chair. So I'm going to be a no on this. The budget note on the state data center, I think this isn't a beef against the agency at all. This is a beef against the legislature and the state CIO. So self-inflicted beef here, I guess. But I think we're really missing the ball here. We're having a feasibility study to consider moving to the state data center, which probably is a better option than where you're at now, but we're missing the opportunity to go to the cloud here. What we're talking about is a commitment that could be a 20 or 30 year commitment here, and we're failing to consider something that's probably a more scalable, more cost effective, more secure option. I mean, that would be done by the feasibility study. So I think we really need to consider cloud storage for that. So I'll be a no on this.
Okay. Any other comments? All right. Opposition. Oh, one. Let's grab Representative Gomberg really quick. Sneak him in here. We're doing budget notes. Colleagues, we have a motion before us to approve the budget notes as presented by LFO. Is there any objections? We've got Senator Johnson, and we've got Representative Nierman. Any others? All right, we're good. Got them noted? All right, those are approved.
Mr. Co-Chair, members of the subcommittee, LFO recommends, this is the overall recommendation, and $100,956,620 other funds expenditure limitation for the agency, 372 positions, 371.37 FTE. Again, that's the limited expenditures. And for the non-limited expenditures would be $10,994,171,000 non-limited other funds expenditure for a total funds budget of $11,095,127,620. Which is reflected in the Dash 1 amendment. The Dash 1 amendment and the original measure, both combined, provide the limited and the non-limited expenditure authority for the agency.
All righty, thank you. Mr. Co-Chair.
Mr. Co-Chair, I move adoption of the Dash 1 amendment to SB 5534.
All right, Mr. Co-Chair moves Senate Bill 5534 as amended to the full committee with a due pass recommendation. Any conversation? Any objections? Let it be noted, Senator Johnson. Rep. Nierman, we're good?
Yep.
Okay.
Mr. Co-Chair, I'm sorry, just administratively, you'll move the adoption of the amendment first.
Oh, sorry. All right. Let me correct myself here. I really apologize. I'm trying to use this off my phone. All right. So I'm gonna. Mr. Co-Chair moved adoption of the Dash 1 amendments to Senate Bill 5534. Any conversation? Any objection? Let it be noted, Senator Johnson is an objection. Seeing nothing else. Okay. And then Mr. Co-Chair.
Mr. Co-Chair, members of the subcommittee, LFO would move that the Senate Bill 5534 as amended by the Dash 1 be moved to the full Ways and Means Committee with a due path.
Mr. Co-Chair, I move SB 5534 as amended to the full committee with due pass recommendation.
All right. Now, Mr. Co-Chair moves Senate Bill 5534 as amended to the full committee with the due pass recommendation. Any conversation? Okay. Any objections? Let it be noted, Senator Johnson. Seeing other, no others, it is passed. Who would like to carry this?
Don't be looking at me.
put me down on there.
Okay. So, Mr. Co-Chair, you'll take it in full Ways and Means and Senate floor?
Yes.
Okay. House members?
Sure.
Could you do this for Representative?
Sure.
Perfect. All right. Any other business before?
Just a few. I got about three questions, if I may.
Perfect. I'm going to pass the gavel. I have to be at a doctor's appointment in 19 Great. Minutes, so I'll pass this over if that's all right.
Right. Good. Thank you, Mr. Chair. And departing, Mr. Chair.
Have a good day.
At some point, I'd like to ask for the Costa and collar PERS in this budget. You don't need it now.
Of the uncollared PERS employer rate, sir?
Yeah, to increase it to its full rate. So if you provide that. The second one, the PERS board was supposed to determine where the $345 million was put. I think the recommendation was to benefits and force reserve. Did that happen?
Co-Chair Manning, Senator DeBoer, it has not been actioned. We have not taken that action yet because we reported that the PERS board hasn't met since we reported to the Joint Ways and Means Committee of our intention, and we had to fulfill that requirement before we could take action.
And that is the recommendation, though, right?
That is the recommendation. That's right.
One other question. In here, it said that your PERS information security, you had a package that was supposed to be done April 30th. Can you give a quick little synopsis? Is that finished?
Co-Chair Manning, Senator DeBoer, the request came in April of 16, gave us to the end of the biennium to accomplish some 19 or so items related mostly to information security. We are in the process this weekend next of finalizing the last of the deliverable documents out of that. We have made progress all along. We are just coming to, it's like you bought all the Christmas presents and the wrapping, but you got to put it all under the tree. It's all going under the tree next Friday.
And we get to open them with a surprise.
Right? You may open them at your discretion.
Thank you. And I also challenge them completely that budgets, any savings you can get on that budget and lower the overhead to help the PERS balances is certainly, we'd love to hear reports on that. Thank you.
Okay. Are there any other questions? We're okay? Okay. Senator?
I'm good.
No further questions. We will adjourn and reconvene tomorrow at 1500 hours, 3 o'clock civilian time. We are adjourned. It's 3 o'clock civilian time. We are adjourned.